spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generation. The eternal light.
The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today by Arnold Pearl, presented in observance of Jewish Book Month, is entitled Ben Yehuda. Featured as narrator is Norman Rose, and Joe DeSantis as Ben Yehuda.
He was frail, and the illness showed especially in his eyes. The doctor said he would never survive, but he did. His weak body poured forth torrents of strength. His eyes burned with a zealot's fire. He was a man devoted to a thought. He breathed life into an idea.
I see a rebirth of Israel and Israel's language, Hebrew, upon the soil of Israel.
The dream was 3,000 years old, and still it was young. It began in Vilna. It was 1860, and there was oppression in Vilna. And Ben Yehuda, the boy, was already in love with his idea. He didn't know it then. It was only the beginning. He was only a boy.
You're coughing, son.
What, Papa?
Son, you're working so hard. Why don't you stop? And you've been coughing.
Only a little, Papa.
They tell me that you may become a great scholar.
I don't know, Papa. There's so much I want to read.
I know. Here. Wrap yourself in this blanket. It's cold.
It's funny, Papa. When I'm reading, then it's not cold. But when I stop, then it is. Thanks.
Under the Tsar, he warmed himself with the Hebrew of the Haskalah literature, the Talmud, the codes, and he was a promising young rabbinical student. But the language was his greatest love.
Mendel, Ben Yehuda, I've been looking all over for you. What are you doing?
Reading.
In the attic with no light? What are you reading?
Robinson Crusoe.
Does your father know?
No.
And the others?
Only you, Mendel.
You'll get into trouble if they find out you're not studying.
But I am studying, Mendel.
Robinson Crusoe?
It's in Hebrew. It's alive. It's exciting. Why should we only study about the past? Why not the present and the future? Mendel, I've been thinking.
What?
I want to study about life, about people, living people. I've been thinking about going to study in Paris.
You're going to Paris? I want to go with you. What will you study?
I don't know. Maybe medicine like you. If I were a doctor, perhaps then I could do something. Something real for people. For all people, Mendel.
He went to Paris. Sick with the illness already in his eyes, he went to Paris. But even there, studying medicine, He was not able to forsake his reading, his first love, the Hebrew language. He read avidly, everything in Hebrew he could find. He read like someone searching for something in the language, as if it held a secret to the passages of life. There were those who would have criticized his reading, his passion for Hebrew.
Shall the language of the prophets be wasted? If you would study Hebrew, study the Bible. That is enough.
In Ben Yehuda's mind was the answer, an answer that drove him, that overcame the fever in his body with the fever of his brain.
When the prophets spoke, did they speak only in the temple? Wasn't their language a language for people everywhere? Isn't the Bible a part of life? Why should we be afraid to make Hebrew again the language of life?
He was 19, and one night while he studied, he came upon his idea.
Mendel, listen.
I'm listening.
If I talk too fast, stop me.
Tell me.
What is the dream?
Medicine. To be a great physician. No?
No. The dream, our dream, the great dream, the restoration. Israel on the soil of Israel.
I see. So?
What's missing? What's wrong? Why has it always been only a dream? I know. Suddenly I know.
I promised your papa I'd watch you. You've been working too hard.
No, listen. I must try to tell you. The dream is nothing because we have no language.
No language?
How can I say it? It's all inside of me. Hebrew is the language of the Bible, of the Talmud. The language of the best that is in our people. But it is the language of the past. If we had it once again at our command, living and vigorous, it would be our key to creating a new tradition, to reaching out again to the best. It would be a guidepost and a beacon.
You think so?
Do you see it? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, such a big idea.
I know.
You've been thinking this all along?
I don't know. It's been growing for a long time.
Why didn't you tell me about it?
It wasn't clear. But now I want to tell everyone. I want to write it and say it and make it real. Mendel, I want to go to Palestine. I want to study Hebrew.
And medicine?
This comes first.
Ben Yehuda, I know what you're feeling, but...
What?
We're studying medicine. We're studying to be doctors. That's real. It's practical. I don't know. To give up medicine for a dream to build a new language in Palestine, what would my father say?
Mendel, of course we need doctors. We must have doctors.
So if I stayed in Paris and became a doctor, you wouldn't be angry?
Mendel.
There have to be Mendels to take care of the Ben Yehudas when they get sick.
But I have to do it. You see that?
I made a mistake. I said there have to be Mendels to take care of the Ben Yehudas. There's only one Ben Yehuda.
And a good thing, too.
I didn't say it. You said it. Take care of your health.
And so he began. He began to build a living language. His imagination was inflamed with the wish to express freedom in the ancient tongue of freedom, to revive an ancient ethic and an ancient law in the tongue that gave them birth. But a dream, too, has its practical aspects. And Ben Yehuda began to mix the mortar of his dream with the realities of grammar and syntax. He studied Hebrew, finding its limitations for modern speech, first in Paris, and then on the way to Palestine in the Vienna Library. There he met Deborah, and in the strangest way, they fell in love.
What's the Hebrew for quadratic equation, Deborah?
Ben Yehuda, there aren't any such words.
And suppose you want to say combustion engine?
I don't know.
Or even suppose you want to say, ouch, you're stepping on my toe.
That too? No words for it.
So what we need is...
It's the library.
Shh. So what we need is a lexicon, a complete compendious dictionary, everything cataloged, organized, ordered, old words. New words, words for the future. Wait a minute. What's the Hebrew for lexicon?
I don't know.
There is no such word.
Please.
No such word. You see, for the very thing we're doing, making a lexicon, there's no such word, so we'll invent it.
Invent it? Can we?
Why not? Let's see. must have the idea of word in it. The Hebrew for word is milah. Many words. Ah, milone. That says it. A lexicon in Hebrew is milone.
That's good. So, is that all?
What?
You said you wanted to talk to me. Is that all you wanted to say? Milone?
No, I... Mind you, Deborah, I'm not asking you to...
To what?
Nothing, I...
Shall I ask you?
No!
Please, quiet!
Look, I'm going to write a lexicon. I'll drive you crazy. I'll drive everyone crazy.
I expect that.
You still don't understand. I'm a sick man. I have tuberculosis. I won't stop working when you ask me to.
Are you going to ask me?
No. Deborah, I...
You don't think I'm insane, do you?
But I do, my darling. I do. Very insane.
In Palestine, they began speaking only Hebrew.
Excuse me, sir. That language you and your wife speak.
Yes, sir.
What is it?
Hebrew?
Hebrew? But that's a dead tongue. My wife is alive. I'm alive. We speak it. But it's the language of the Bible.
Yes, I know. It's a sacred tongue.
To Ben Yehuda, life and living were sacred too. And the aspiration of his people, that was sacred. And he saw no contradiction. Rather, he saw a union, a fusing of language and hope. And he wanted others to see. He went to schools. He talked to school directors.
You're a director of a school. What better place to introduce modern Hebrew than in a school, the young children?
But it means a complete revision of a curriculum. Getting textbooks that don't exist. Training teachers. It's not feasible.
Anything is feasible if you want it to be.
The board of directors would never approve.
Why not? I will speak to them.
Ben Yehuda, don't be so hard on us. We, too, want to build Eretz Yisrael. We want to see our people build their life here. But you ask too much, too fast.
But don't you see? The language is part of the building. It's the keystone. We must have it. It must be part of us while we go to work, while we rest, while we enjoy ourselves. It must be ingrained in our spirits.
I'm sorry. I realize how much this means to you, but it can't be done. And one thing more.
Yes?
I'm a tolerant man. Be careful how you try to convince others.
It was hard for him to be careful, for he was possessed with the beauty of his idea. He was a visionary, and like all visionaries, he overlooked the slowness of men, the resistance to change, the prejudice against the new and the different. He was ignored and scorned, but meanwhile he worked. Sometimes he coughed. His taut body pored over the words, built the lexicon, morning till sunset, and often sunset until morning. And then came the birth of Itamar.
Ben Yehuda, my darling. We have a son.
How are you, Deborah?
Happy.
No more pain?
None.
Sure?
Sure.
Can I talk? A little?
Talk, if you like. A lot.
Skin is so cool.
What did you want to say, my darling?
With little Itamar, we'll talk Hebrew. And the moment he hears, he'll hear Hebrew.
I don't like that.
He'll be the first child in 2,000 years to hear Hebrew every day at home.
2,000 years, you said.
I was exaggerating. Only 1,000. Think of it, he... Oh. Sleep now. Sleep, Deborah. We'll talk about it in the morning.
In the morning, my darling.
Years they taught Hebrew to the boy, kept him away from other languages. And, of course, the neighbors began to gossip.
What they're doing to the child is unnatural.
You do not know the half of it. The boy is 3. Has he said a single word yet? Has he spoken anything?
Nothing.
You don't mean it.
Exactly. The boy has never spoken.
With their Hebrew, they've made him an idiot.
My Israel was talking at 13 months.
13 months?
Well, a year and a half. Not a word, and the poor child is past 3.
Even Ben Yehuda's friends were troubled.
I,
I don't like to bring it up, Ben Yehuda.
Dennis, my friend. You were the first after Deborah to enter the pack to speak only Hebrew. Did I ever bite your head off? What is it?
Well, why do you think he doesn't talk?
Little Itamar. Why?
Tell me.
He has no playmates. Who speaks his language his own age?
It's true.
And are there words for the things he wants? A tarp, a jack-in-the-box. And how do you say, ouch, in Hebrew?
It's true. What can we do? But if he's with other children, he'll lose the Hebrew.
Maybe he'll lose it, but he'll speak. He'll be like other children. That, too, is important.
Finis, my friend. Let me tell you my vision, and then ask you something.
What?
I see a day when the children, little Itamar and the others, families of children, will come from school and sit in the sun to hear stories. For what are children? Laughter, as the philosopher said, and dirt, and an appetite for stories. They will sit in the foothills of Mount Gilboa or near Carmel or in the hills of South Galilee. And what stories will we tell them? Of Jonathan and Saul, David and Elijah? And what better language to tell these stories than Hebrew?
It's a beautiful dream.
So, for this dream, a little sacrifice.
Itamar?
No, us. You and I.
Anything within reason.
This is not within reason. But I'll ask it.
What are you smiling about?
Suppose we play with him. Play, I mean. We're not three, I know. It's not the same as playmates. But until he begins to talk, and until we can find other children who will also talk Hebrew with him, couldn't we try it?
How?
We've made up words before. Now we'll make up words for top, for jack-in-the-box.
Not all a child needs.
We'll even make up a word for ouch.
I told you what I think.
I know, but between us, you, Deborah, and I, we'll try to be his little Hebrew friend. We'll try. Meanwhile, we'll persuade the fathers and the mothers, and in time, they'll teach their children. In time, Itamar will have his friend. Am I absolutely mad?
You're absolutely mad.
But I'll do it.
They made up words for his toys, for ouch. And they played with him, and soon Itamar spoke in Hebrew. Meanwhile, Ben Yehuda worked on his lexicon, and partly by his persistence, partly by the power of his faith, he broke others down.
Ben Yehuda.
Huh?
Look up, darling. That can wait. I have something to tell you.
I'm sorry, Deborah. I'm an inconsiderate old fool. When you came in, I hardly heard.
That's all right. Tonight, when Itamar went to sleep, he said goodnight in Hebrew. You know, I'll admit it now, darling. I was worried about him.
Not now?
No, not now. He's happy and wonderful. And there's something else.
Yes?
A man came to call before, Reb Gershon. He wants you to do an article for the newspaper on the majesty of the Hebrew language. He'd like your answer tomorrow morning. What shall I tell him?
Tell him I'll be glad to. But tell him in Hebrew.
Gradually, he won friends. One day...
Ben Yehuda, a victory.
What, my friend?
The new paper that always called you Yehuda the Fanatic. An editorial praising you. Look.
Fine. Come, I'll show you something.
You didn't hear me.
I heard you. Come. What do you see?
Itamar and his friend.
They're playing.
All right, they're playing. So?
They're playing in Hebrew. They're playing and talking in Hebrew.
Is that a fact?
I'll show you something else. Itamar, my son. You and little Beryl, come here.
Hello, Itamar. Hello, Beryl.
Give his ear a tweak, Beryl. Go ahead.
Why should I tweak a child's ear?
An experiment. Go ahead.
All right.
Hold still, Beryl.
Come on, Doctor.
Do you know what he said?
I'm old as I can. I don't understand.
He said, you old donkey in biblical Hebrew. Goodness, my friend, when a child calls names in ancient Hebrew, then the language is living.
But even this was only the beginning. Now he worked 12, 15 hours a day, finding new words. Words for when you barked your shins, for the tools for farmers, for the skills of shipbuilders, for the ideals of government. And with him was Deborah, his wife, 12, 15 hours a day, until the look that was in his eyes was also suddenly in hers.
Deborah, darling.
Yes?
Could you listen to a new word?
Yes, of course.
You look tired. Maybe we better not.
No, tell me.
It's the word for work. Avodah. To work.
Avodah.
It means to work and also to worship. I thought work is the freest expression of a human being. Because labor is a creation and is therefore godlike. To worship and to work should be the same word.
Mm. Avodah. It's a good word. Oh, but there are so many words than you. There's so many more.
I know. Deborah.
I'm tired. Oh.
Deborah. Deborah.
Doctor, it's my fault. I did it. I'm the one.
Don't say it, Ben Yehuda. It was not your fault.
I drove it too hard. I'm crazy.
Would she have had it any other way? Her soul rests in peace. But it's you I want to talk about.
Me? I'm fine.
You haven't 6 months to live, Ben Yehuda.
But I've only started.
If you work as you have been... Not 6 months.
It isn't true.
It is true. You know it's true. Promise me one thing. Try to live. For the children's sake. For your sake. Promise me.
Ben Yehuda tried to live. But in his own way. Life for him was his work, his dream, and to have stopped would have been death. One volume of the Hebrew lexicon had been started. There were 3 volumes planned. He worked, and the incredible thing is that he did not die. Not in 6 months, not in 6 years. He lived to complete in manuscript the great lexicon of Hebrew that he started. He lived to see his destiny fulfilled. And later... The carriers of his destiny were the members of his family, who nurtured with equal devotion the dream their father had planted. This year, in Eretz Yisrael, the last volume of the Hebrew lexicon will be published. And now, 25 years after his death, the language has become a living language in Eretz Yisrael. In the schools, the marketplace, the literature and working language of the land, Hebrew, the ancient tongue of Israel, has been reborn. And even more today, the language Ben Yehuda helped to recreate is one of the many tongues in the assemblies of the nations of the world. The letters of the Bible are again today building the words of peace.
And now we take pleasure in presenting Dr. Abraham Milgram, Educational Director of the United Synagogue of America. Dr. Milgram.
The story of Ben Yehuda is appropriate to the occasion of the annual observance of Jewish Book Month. The publication of the last volume of Ben Yehuda's classic Hebrew lexicon represents more than an invaluable contribution to the cultural treasures of the Jewish people and of the world. It is the culmination of a lifelong self-dedication to a constructive and creative idea, an idea calculated to reconstruct and recreate the spirit of the people of the book. One of the sages of the Talmud is quoted as having said, "The book and the sword descended together from heaven." Said the Almighty, "If you will abide by the moral law of the book, you will be saved from the sword." Ben Yehuda lived by this idea. The Jewish people has survived because of his devotion to the greatest of books, the Bible. And the future of the Jewish people, as indeed of all mankind, depends on the choice that it will make between the book and the sword, between spirit and might, between peace and strife. Jewish Book Month is more than an annual stimulus to the publication and dissemination of Jewish books. Its significance transcends these activities in that it points up the historic role of the Jewish people to live by the prophetic teaching that not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It is in this sense that men of goodwill everywhere rejoice in the decision reached yesterday by the United Nations Assembly, a decision which gives the Jewish people an opportunity to fulfill its age-old dream and Ben Yehuda's dream to reunite the book, the language, the people, and the land.
Thank you, Dr. Milgram. By Arnold Pearl and was entitled Ben Yehuda. The music was composed by Morris Memorski and conducted by Milton Katims. The narrator was Norman Rose, and Joe DeSantis was Ben Yehuda. The liturgical introduction was sung by cantor David Putterman, and the entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. Next week, The Eternal Light will present a special broadcast celebrating the reestablishment of the ancient Jewish Commonwealth in Eretz Israel through the creation by the United Nations Assembly of a Jewish state in Palestine. Free time has been made available by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations for the presentation of this program in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. If you have any comment or inquiries about today's program, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.